Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. As you're turning there, I just want to remind you of the materials on the back table. Some Christian Womanhood magazine and Sword of Lords and different things are back there for you. So I would ask you to take time and pick one up. Take them home with you if you'd like. They're there for you. For your reading pleasure. Genesis chapter 3. Let's stand as we do so. We're going to read verses 8 through 13 responsively. Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. I'll read, then you read, and so on. Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 8. They heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Altogether, and the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Heavenly Father, we come to your word, come to your preaching, come to your book. I pray, God, that you'd bless this time now. Fill me as I speak. Help me to say things you want said. Touch hearts now, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my message is, Where Are You? As God puts it here, where art thou? But where are you? There are so many things that take a Christian and distract them from being what we ought to be. Sometimes there are so many things in life that distract us from helping us, of course, be what we ought to be, but places that we ought to be, things that we ought to do for God. I'm going to use this familiar passage a little bit and talk about three different kinds of people that perhaps maybe in this room this morning. I hope this will be a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me as I studied and prepared. The fall of Adam and Eve. This is what this chapter deals with. Adam and Eve, they had it made. They lived in a beautiful Garden of Eden created for them. Everything there God gave to them, the responsibilities only of Adam and Eve was to go ahead and dress and to keep the garden, take good care of it. I can see God said, Adam, this is yours. All that you see here in this garden, the beautiful trees and the river and the fruit and all that you see about you, the animal, they're yours. This is for you. I love you. I want to give this to you. All you have to do is just take care of this beautiful garden. It's yours except for the one thing. See, Adam, over in the midst of the garden, there's a tree. All around this garden is yours, but there's a tree in the midst of it, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Just stay away from it. Basically, he said, don't touch it. Stay away from it, lest ye die. Just don't even go near it. By the way, that's how sin is. You know, if you know that there's a place, if there's something that's going to go ahead and trap you, the devil will try to lure you to that one thing. You know, sometimes they'll take the one thing to go ahead and distract you, the thing that's just kind of sitting there, is not bothering anybody, but the one thing, I mean, you've got everything else. You've got all. God gave you so much, but the truth of the matter is the devil, he'll take that one thing to try to lure you and have you grab it and have you take to it. Anyways, and that's what happened here. In the midst of the garden, Adam, there's that tree of knowledge, good and evil. That's mine, if you will. Don't touch it. Just stay away from it. All was well, of course. We know the story. All was well until the serpent came along. The old devil tempted Eve. Told Eve that the tree will make one wise. Hey, Eve, if you go ahead and you take of this tree, you're going to be like God. God knows that. That's why he's keeping you from that tree. That's why he's keeping you from that fruit. And this, watch the progression of sin here. And if you're struggling with sin this morning, this is a lot of the ways this is how it goes. But the old devil just kind of comes. He came to Eve and said, hey, Eve, and perhaps Eve was staying way away from it. You know, and that's what we should do. You stay as far away from sin. This is what we all have a tendency as Christians to get so close. Oh, I'm on the right side, Pastor Weeks. I'm right here. But the thing is sometimes we get so close to sin that all someone has to do is just kind of blow and you fall into it. Hey, you know what? We ought to stay right as far away from it. Don't even get near it. But I could see maybe Eve going about her business there in the Garden of Eden, and she was doing her thing, and she was doing God said, dressing and keeping the garden, helping her help meet Adam, and I could see everything there was just wonderful. Then that old serpent, the old devil, just came on in, just kind of slithered his way in. You know, I don't tell many people this, but I hate snakes. That's where I lose my manhood real fast. I mean, don't misunderstand me. You say, well, Pastor, come on now. I mean, I hate them. I shouldn't say it publicly and so forth, but the truth, I hate them. I don't like them. I mean, you know what? I don't mind spiders. I don't mind mice. I don't mind all that kind of stuff, but the truth of the matter is, I don't like snakes. Just to get off on a quick illustration, of course, I grew up on a dairy farm, and I remember I was cleaning out this old pile of wood that we had to, you know, it was up above our, in a field there. We had to just clean out this old pile of wood. It was springtime. Oh, it was actually probably closer to summertime. It was a little bit warmer than what it is right now. Truth of the matter, as I was moving the stuff around, all of a sudden a snake just kind of crawled right up my leg. And I shook that thing, and you never saw Pastor Weeks run so fast. I mean, I was young, okay, but I ran. I mean, I'm telling you, I don't like snakes. I just don't. Whatever. You say, well, Pastor Weeks, that's not very man of you. Okay, then, that's fine. You know what? Whenever I see a snake in my yard, I'll go ahead and I'll gather it, and I'll bring it to you, okay? But the truth of the matter is, I just stay away from them. I look forward that as I'm mowing the lawn, there's a snake. I mean, it's not going to last long if I'm on a lawnmower, you know? And I just thank God I'm on that lawn more. You know what I mean? I'm not walking about, but tell you anyways. Okay, enough of that. But the truth of the matter is, here comes the old serpent. Here comes the old devil inside that serpent, just kind of slithering his way in to a calm and peaceful life. That's how it happens. All's pretty good. You know, the joy of the Lord's flowing through you. And I can see the joy of the Lord in Adam and Eve. Things are well. That beautiful garden. And all of a sudden, that old devil kind of gets in the way. All of a sudden, the old devil kind of slithers in the way. And he comes up and says, oh boy, you know what? That tree doesn't look so bad, does it? Hey, Eve, hey, you know what? You're standing way over here, perhaps on the other side of the garden. Hey, take a look over there. And here, this is where Eve made her mistake. Here Eve was doing the will of God. Here Eve was doing her thing. Here Eve was going ahead and being a helpmeet. She was working in the garden, but the devil came in, and perhaps she was way away. God said, hey, in the midst of the garden is that tree. Here, in the midst of the garden is that tree. You just stay away from it. Just don't even go near. And I can see maybe Adam and Eve, their love and devotion to God. They didn't want to get close to it. They didn't want to go ahead and break God's law, but the old devil there, hey, Eve, look. Boy, that tree really looks good, don't it? Yeah, but I'm not supposed to, I've got to stay away from it. You know, and I could see her maybe trying to ignore him maybe, perhaps, and doing her thing. But Eve, hold it, stop. Look at it. Boy, the fruit on that tree, boy, really looks good. Yeah. But Eve, look. Looks really, really good. Yeah. Eve, hey, stop. Just go ahead and look. Isn't that tree look nice? Yeah, the tree looks pretty good. Hey, Eve, you know, come here. Just kind of, I'm going to slither my way, but let's take a couple. Yeah. Doesn't that look, I mean, look at the way the sun is shining. Yeah, pretty good. You know, and she was busy, but maybe she was trying to fight him off. You know, this is how sin works. This is how the devil works. You know, if you're filled with God, yeah, you try to fight him off and fight him off, but boy, the devil just kind of keeps on picking and picking and picking and picking, and eventually you start getting distracted. Hey, Eve, look. Well, that fruit really, well, that would taste real good, yeah. I'm supposed to, you know, I'm not supposed to touch it there. Yeah, but you know why? You know why God says that? I'll tell you why God says that. Because he doesn't want you to be as wise as he is. That time, you know, Eve should have been a red flag right there, you know. Red flag, hold it. You know, but hey, Eve, look. I can see the progression. You know, if you're dealing with sin maybe in your life, you know what? It doesn't always just happen just like that. Just kind of progressively. Yeah, it looks pretty good. Just progressively. You get distracted from the things that you're supposed to do, from reading your Bible, from praying, from walking with God, from church, and all kinds of things that God wants you to do, the part of the will of God God wants you to do. But the truth of the matter is, the old devil just kind of tries to find that little opening in your life that's weak. That little opening, he just slithers in his way there, and hey, you know what, that the world doesn't look so bad, does it? That fruit really doesn't look so bad, does it? Boy, this is okay. Hey, come on, Eve. Hey, come get a little close. Hey, okay, you don't want to touch it. That's fine. But you know what? You can get near it. Let me tell you something. If the old devil's doing that, you better start taking heed to what I'm preaching right now. There ought to be a warning sign. There ought to be a red light. There ought to be all kinds of things flashing in your mind. Hold it. You know what? And just as the Bible says, get thee behind. At that time, you better start saying, get thee behind me, Satan. You better go ahead and kick him, get him out of your life, and say, hey, devil, you get out. You're not going to go ahead and destroy my life. But, you know, just kind of slithered his way over. Come on, Eve. Okay, you don't want to touch it. It's okay. But just get a little bit better view. Just get a little bit better view of what that tree actually looks like. And of course, I can just see the progression. Maybe over time, I'm not sure how it all happened. Could have been a period of days? I don't know. Maybe. Could have been just a split moment? I don't know. I'm not sure. But the truth of the matter is just the progression. Just kind of went ahead and, you know, she could just get a little bit closer. And of course, that's when it all happened. Eve here. Take of that fruit. And she went ahead, as we know, we took of that fruit. I believe also in our scripture, the Bible says that, and the Lord, let me see here, in verse number 8, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I believe that was the morning. In the cool of the day would be, of course, when the sun, you know, and the dew's all out on the grass, and just that cool morning, cool time of the day. I think that might have been morning. But here is God, and I believe, just personally, by reading this, I think there was a time that God and Adam and Eve met. I believe maybe there was a spot, perhaps, in the garden. I mean, a very unique relationship at this time. A sweet fellowship that they could only enjoy at this particular time. And I believe that here they were. Perhaps there was a time. Maybe they were in the garden. I don't know. But this is just the way my mind pictures it. Maybe in the garden there's some park benches there. And maybe they were sitting by the river and watching. But there was just a time, though, however, that every single day that God, Adam, and Eve, they met. There was a time when they went ahead and met. Let me tell you something. Boy, it would be very, very important. Okay? You want to go ahead and help stray away from sin. You want to go ahead and help stay away from what the devil wants you to go towards. You know what? You better walk with God every single day. I think the morning time's a good time. You ought to have that time set apart where it's just you and God. But the truth of the matter is, here every single day, I think they had a place. They had a time when they got to meet with God. A very unique relationship. God was walking around. The Bible says in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves. I don't know exactly all that happened, but here was God. He showed up in his spot that day. He showed up. He was right there. Perhaps he met at that park bench or wherever it was in the garden, but the truth of the matter is he showed up. But where's Adam and Eve? Boy, you know what? Maybe it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what time, but the truth of the matter is he was there on time. Boy, this isn't like Adam and Eve to go ahead and miss this morning or any morning. This isn't like them. You know what? Where's Adam and Eve? And I could go ahead and see God there, and maybe he waited a little bit. Oh, they're running late or whatever the case may be. Hey, let me tell you something. If you get to a point, if you've been walking with God each and every day, boy, you keep on walking with God. The very moment, listen to me, the very moment that you go ahead and you take this word of God and you put it on a shelf somewhere and you stop walking with God, let me tell you something. Hey, there's going to be danger. Let me tell you something. You're going to create a weak spot there that the old devil's going to look at and say, hey, you know what? I think I can go get that pastor. I think I can go get that deacon. I think I can go get that godly mama or that godly dad. Hey, you know what? They haven't walked with God for a while. Let me tell you something. You start losing the strength and you start losing the stamina that you have for God. The moment that you push God away, the moment that you push the word of God away, you better go ahead and be careful. You better be careful when that happens. God showed up. I wonder how often it is that perhaps you're saved here this morning. You know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but there was that time, that sweet fellowship, it was you and God. It was just you and God. It wasn't anybody else, but it was you, it was God. You had your own little prayer closet at the Bible, as the Bible calls it, but there was a time where you and God met. And God showed up. Every single morning, there was a time, and you were there, but God showed up. God went ahead and he was there. But where are you? And maybe progressively, as you would read your Bible every day, but progressively you started missing a day here or a day there. And what happens, because spiritually you start getting weaker. Spiritually you start getting, you start disintegrating, if you will. Spiritually, as the old devil throws his fiery darts at you, he goes ahead and he aims right at you. He looks for that weak spot and says, hey, you know what? That person there used to go to church. That person there used to walk with God. That person there, you know what? I found a weak spot. He's been missing. He or she's been missing here or there, that walk with God. And the old devil's going to go ahead and aim that fiery dart, and he's going to go ahead and hit right where it hurts and where it can go ahead and weaken you. And when he's got you down, boy, he's got you down. And the old, and here's God. Here he is in the garden. He says, Adam, Adam, where art thou? I don't know if he called a couple, Adam. Maybe Adam and Eve, they were too, you know, I don't know. Man, you know, Adam, I could see Eve saying, Adam, this, it just feels different today. I don't dare to go out and face God. I just, they're hiding. And let me go back to walking with God. You know, you have that daily walk, but you start putting things on a shelf. Your standards, if you will, starts changing. Your walk with God just becomes hit or miss and here and there. Your church attendance, which once was here, man, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, I mean, you were there, but it just starts getting hit or miss. Your ministry, I mean, before you know it, you start giving up the things of God, and you start putting the Bible on the shelf, and you start putting things that are so important for a relationship between you and God, you just kind of start pushing them away. And you wonder, how in the world do I get in the mess that I get into from time to time? Adam. God, Adam. Eve. Where art thou? Where are you? And of course they came out, the Bible says that Adam and Eve and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Verse 10, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. Boy, things weren't quite the same as they were the day before. That sweet fellowship wasn't quite the same as it was the day before. And they were afraid to come out and face God. Why? Because they broke God's law. Why? Because of sin. And the devil, go ahead, he's back there. That old serpent, the old devil, he's back there and he's laughing. Yes, I got him. Yes, I went ahead and I caused Adam and Eve to go ahead and disgrace God and hurt God. And yes, I can guarantee you, if there's ever any hurt in God at that particular time, because I believe, because God is a jealous God and he longs to be with you, he longs to fellowship with you, and I can imagine at that moment he says, Adam, what did you do? Boy, I so long to be with you every day. Adam, you know the consequences of this. You know that you know what's going to happen. And of course we know the story. Boy, the devil, what did he do? He made sin look attractive. He made sin look pretty. He went ahead and said, hey, Eve, it starts right there. Eve, stop what you're doing. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're serving God this morning, and you're serving on a bus route, and you're praying, and you'll walk with God, hey, when the old devil whispers in your ear, stop what you're doing. Hey, don't stop. You keep on serving God. You keep on praying, because for the time that the devil says to stop, you know there's going to be danger lurking. You know there's going to be something up ahead of you that you don't want to face, because you've cut that relationship with God. Let me ask you a question. Where are you in relation to God this morning? Where are you in relation to God this morning? There are three types of people here this morning. Number one, real quickly, number one, a person with whom God did know. There are some folks here this morning, you're a person with whom God did know. Don't you misunderstand me? You can take me back to a time where, Pastor, I realized I'm a sinner. I realized there's a price on sin. I realized that I need to be saved. And I remember, and you could take me back to a time when you got saved. And let me tell you something, nobody can ever take that away. And you ought to thank God that when you got saved, it was a free gift. And all you had to do, as we mentioned before, is simply receive it. But let me tell you something. But there are some people here tonight, this morning, there are some saved people here this morning. God once really knew you. There was a time that he knew you. He had a sweet fellowship with you. Each and every day, you'd go ahead and look forward to getting your Bible out, and you'd go kneel somewhere to pray, and you'd talk to the God of gods and the King of kings, and you'd go ahead and take the King James Bible, and you'd open it, and you'd go ahead and absorb the things of God. And by the way, when you absorb the things of God, that's what gives you the strength each and every day to go ahead and combat the devil. But there's some people here maybe this morning, you're a person with whom God did know. No, you haven't cut the fellowship of salvation. That's there forever. But the truth of the matter is, does God really, really know you this morning? Does he really know you? I'm talking about in an intimate way. Does he really know you? Is he the one that gives you the strength to go through that battle you go through that we talk about each and every day, each and every week? Is he the one that goes ahead and helps you and leads you through the storms of life? Is he the one? It might be the reason why we fail and we quit in the storms of life is we as saved people have cut off that relationship that you once had. There's some people here, perhaps, you're a person with whom God did know. God did know Adam and Eve in such an intimate way. God knew them. He did know them, but they cut off. When they decided to do things their way, when they listened to the old devil, let me tell you something, they cut off a precious relationship that they never could get back. Not in that form. Of course, you know, all the sacrifices in the Old Testament and all the things that the children of Israel, and all because of sin, you know, they had to go through all these atonements and sacrifices, different things to go ahead and be in communication with God, a whole lot different. But let me tell you something, back in Adam and Eve's day in the Garden of Eden before sin, it was a whole lot different. But could you imagine? Sometimes I think back and I imagine being Adam in that garden. I mean, having that unique relationship. God just walking in the cool of the day, coming and having a sweet fellowship. But are you here this morning? You're a person with whom God did know. This is one whom you and God met every day. You'd meet with him. You'd talk to him daily. You would pray without ceasing. You would walk with him. You would talk with him. But just like Eve, something happened. Maybe you got too busy in your work. Maybe you got too busy for God. Maybe things just come up. Something happened. Maybe the temporal pleasures that life gives you took over the eternal joy of walking with God and serving him. But something happened. This is the person with whom you can take me back to the place and the time that you got saved. And you can say with assurance, yes, Pastor, I am saved because of 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that ye may know. You know, and you know, and you know you're on your way to heaven, but somewhere along the way, you've cut off that relationship because of sin maybe entered into your life, because you got too busy. The serpent snuck in. I'll put it that way. He came in. He slithered, I got at that time, his way in. He came in, perhaps all was well. You know what? You would go ahead and get up in the morning on Sunday morning, and you'd read your Bible, and you'd have devotion time with your family, and you say, okay, kids, it's time to go ahead and go to church. You'd be responsible for helping your kids get ready to go to church and go to Sunday school, and you'd be responsible for training your children in the way they should go, but something happened. Somewhere along the way, you once had that sweet fellowship and that intimate relationship with God. You know you're saved, but something along the way, the old devil snuck in. He slithered his way into your home, and now you wonder, why is this happening? Why is it like this? Something went ahead and happened, and sin maybe came in, or whatever the case may be. But you know what? This morning, you can go ahead and you can fix that. If you've been broken away from God as far as this intimate, that relationship that he wants to have you with you, if you're here this morning and you're a person whom God did know, I plead with you this morning, why don't you decide, I'm going to get it right. I want to have that sweet relationship again. I want the sweet savor that only God can go ahead and give me. I want the sustenance that God, only God can give me. I want the joys of the eternal joy that only God can give me. I want the strength that he can give me day by day as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death from time to time and the storms of life. I want God's strength on my life. The truth of the matter is, it might be the storms that come up each and every day might simply be because we have backed away from the one who will lead us through it. We have backed away from him. Is there sin that's gone ahead and taken the glow off your face that you once had? Is it sin that once gave you a peace and a joy that passes all understanding? I don't know, but what is it today that caused that sweet relationship that you once had with God? Boy, let me plead with you this morning as your pastor, mend it back together. Mend it back together. If you're a person with whom God did know, is he crying out, where are you? Hey, you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know you're saved. I remember, you know, I know when you got saved, but something snuck into your family. Something happened. You used to bring your family to church. You used to walk with me morning after morning and talk with me morning after morning, but something happened. And I plead with you today, if you're one of them people whom God did know, why don't you decide today to get the old needle and the thread out and mend it back together and build that relationship back? Why don't you decide today that, you know what, starting today, I'm going to bring God back into my family. I'm going to go ahead and bring Christ back into the forefront of my home. I'm going to go ahead and bring Christ back in the forefront of my job and everything that I do. I'm going to go ahead and bring Christ back in the forefront because he deserves to be in the forefront today, ladies and gentlemen. He deserves to be number one in your life. I'm not talking about the NBA. I'm not talking about Hollywood. I'm talking about Christ. He needs to be number one in your life today. Are you a person with whom God did know? You're the one that the devil knows that he can't take to hell with him because you're saved and you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that he can go ahead and rob you from the joys and blessings that God can give by slithering his way in and messing things up. Boy, the devil's good at that. Boy, the devil, you know, if there's anything that the devil's good at, that's what he's good at. He's good at just coming in and just bringing havoc to a peaceful home. He's good at coming in and bringing displeasure to a pleasurable life in Christ. This morning, maybe God may be calling you. Yeah, you're written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're saved, but you've not walked with God in a long time. And he may be saying, where are you? If you've separated, if you've divided that relationship, why don't you today just decide to ask for forgiveness? My Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, why don't you decide this morning? You're saved, but boy, there's some things in your life that's just gone ahead and separated that sweet relationship you once had. Why don't you just decide this morning, I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to ask God for forgiveness. I'm going to ask him to confess my sin, and I'm going to go ahead and starting today, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to lead my family for Christ, and I'm going to do everything I can to let God lead me and guide me and let him have the forefront and be ahead of me in every decision and every place that I go. Isaiah 58:11, the Bible says, and the Lord shall guide thee continually. It satisfy thy soul in drought. Let me tell you something, satisfy. Boy, I like that word, satisfy. He'll go ahead, he'll satisfy your soul when things look so rough and things are dry in your life. He says he'll satisfy your soul in drought and make thy bones, fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Hey, you know what? The devil cannot give that kind of satisfaction. He may go ahead and try to play make havoc in your home, in your life, but he'll always fail you. He'll always wrong you. He'll do everything he can to make a Christian. He knows if you're saved this morning, he can't take your soul with him. But you know what? He wants to do everything he can. He wants to do everything he can to chew you up and spit you out and tromp all over you. That's what he wants to do. Let me illustrate this. When I was in Bible college, went 1 year to Bible college in Ohio. I use a story for other things, but I'm just going to briefly just tell you the story. Used to work on a dairy farm. I knew the farm life, and I used to work on a dairy farm. And of course, one of the things that you do when you start, I worked third shift. My wife remembers that. She used to go with me, milk the cows out there in Massillon, Ohio, right out in the Midwest. And I used to go ahead and have the third shift milking. They'd milk a couple hundred cows, and they had the free stuff. I mean, it was not you'd bring the cows in. It'd be the parlor system, if you're familiar with it. You're right down there, and 8 or 10 cows, 5 on this side, 5 on this side, and then you put the milkers on different things. But you'd go out there, first of all, you'd go out in the pasture and yell to the cow, "Hey, boss, 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 boss," and they'd all come. In the midst of all them cattle, 200 and so cattle, in the midst of all them was a bull, okay? And this bull, I mean, I grew up on a farm. My dad always said, stay away from the bulls, okay? Believe me, I've been there, done that. I got the T-shirt, you know what I mean? I stay away from the bulls. About the first time one bucked me as a kid on the farm, I realized, you know what, my dad's right, okay? Children, listen, you know, your parents have a lot of wisdom when they tell you not to do something, all right? But I was there, here I was, a 22-year-old farmer at that point, going through Bible college, milking my way through college, amen? But the truth of the matter is I'd go out and call the cows in. In the midst was this bull. And I'm telling you, this was the strangest thing that you'll ever see. I'm telling you, this bull, one time, the first time I went out and called the cows, get them in the holding pen, this bull started running after me. I said, this is not good. I said, something, this is not good. But this just started starting trotting towards me and so forth. I'm not going to trot because then you'll laugh. And anyways, but you know, some of you will definitely laugh and hold it against me later. But the truth of the matter is, but here's this bull started trotting towards me. I said, this is not good. And I just... Okay. You start trying to talk to him. Hey, you know what? But it didn't have any mean look. And literally, that bull caught up to me and just started, just like a kitten would or a cat, started rubbing his head on me. I go, wow, this is real strange. You're weird. You know? But I went ahead and I just pat it and I said, okay, if this is the kind of relationship, I'll take it. I know how you guys can be. Now, anyways, to make a long story short, day after day that would happen. Day after day. And I went ahead and one day after several months of working there, you know, I didn't think anything of it. The bull was, you know, I got the cows going and here, boss, 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 got them in the pen, different things. The bull was kind of down in the back 40, a little bit further away, but just started running after me. And, you know, I thought, okay, this is good. My buddy's coming, you know, I'll pat him and all this stuff. This time as he got closer to me, he wasn't slowing down. It was the same bull, but he wasn't slowing down. I said, okay. I said, all right, you know, okay. And literally, he wasn't slowing down. And now, thank God, I will say this ahead of time. I thank God he was dehorned. He did not have horns. Okay? I thank God. Otherwise, it would have been a bad thing. But the truth of the matter, much worse, I should say. The truth of the matter is that bull did not stop. That bull did not come up and start scratch my ears and pat me, you know? That bull was not doing its weird thing, you know? This bull was being what bulls do. He came and he grabbed me right here. Okay? Now, back then, I didn't have the flesh around me that I have now, okay? Had I had the gut now, back then, maybe it just bounced off me. But the truth of the matter is, he grabbed me right here. And he picked me up. And no joke, from here to about where my wife's sitting, he threw me. I just lay there. And I go, what in the world? I just lay there. Thinking, okay, he's done. But he keeps on running, and then he turns around, and he turns back, and he comes back. And he tromples me. And I, you know, that was an awakening, okay? And he was getting ready to do it again. Just within a few feet, there was a feed cart out there. And I got up, just to get enough energy. and got up and I just jumped underneath that feed car because he's going to do it again. And I go, what in the world? But you know what? It just goes to show that's just how the devil is. The devil will go ahead and befriend, just like Eve, befriend you. You take a look. Hey, you know what? I'm not so bad. Come on, just let me in. Come on, I'm not so bad. And before you know it, he's destroyed you. He knows that if you're saved this morning, he knows that he wants, he can't take your soul to hell, but he wants to do everything he can to make your life as displeasing to God as he possibly can. Hey, are you a person with whom God did know? And if you are, why don't you just decide this morning, saved one, to get right and create and rebuild that relationship that you once had? Number two, are you a person in whom God wants to know? Just as he's looking for the one who drifted away and backslid and left him, if you will, he's continually looking for the one who needs him as personal savior. The one who does not know for sure that they have a home in heaven. The one that must realize he's a sinner. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. One that must acknowledge that he's lost because sin will cause you to lose your way. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all is very broad. That means everybody has sinned. And we've come short of the glory of God. Hey, are you a person in whom God wants to know this morning? Are you one that God wants to come at the door of your heart and knock? As the Bible says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Hey, let me ask you a question. If you're not saved this morning, is he knocking on your heart's door this morning? Is he saying, hey, come on in. I want to come in. I want you to ask sincerely. Come into your heart and save me. And when I do, I can change your life. And when I do, I'll mark you down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when I do, when you die one day, you get to be with me in heaven. I so long to have you be with me in heaven one day. I want to give you a mansion. I want you to walk up and down the streets of gold. I want you to see the gates of pearl. I want you to go ahead and see the river of life. I want you to see everything that I'm providing for you up here. But first, you must be saved. Hey, maybe you're the one that's drifted away. Why don't you decide to come back to him this morning? But maybe you're the one that God is looking for. He's knocking on your heart's door right now saying, please let me come in. Realize you're a sinner. Come into my heart. Let me come into your heart. Let me save you and give you eternal life in heaven. Are you that one whom God wants to know? Maybe he's knocking. Maybe it's that funny feeling you're feeling right now. That's not me knocking at your heart's door. That's the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't know for sure, you're on your way to heaven this morning. Why don't you decide? You know what? Today's the day. I'm going to be a new child of God before I leave this church today. If you're lost this morning, why don't you decide? I'm going to get saved. I'm not going to go ahead and push God away. Maybe you've sat under a service like this. Maybe you've read your Bible. You've tried to do it, and you wonder, why am I not getting anything from the Word of God? Well, it might simply be because the Holy Spirit's not here. It might simply be because you've not come to a point of your life and say, I know I'm a sinner. There's a price on sin. That price is hell. But God is knocking at my door, and all I need to do is simply open and ask, and he'll move in. Are you that one today? Are you the one that God so wants to know? That's why he sent his son. You know, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And all you have to do is simply open your heart and receive him. And he'll give you the gift of eternal life. For whosoever shall call, the Bible says, upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God wants to know you. Maybe you're here today. God, you're saved. You've drifted away. You backslid. Why don't you go ahead and mend that relationship back up before you leave this morning? But maybe you're here today. You don't know for sure you're saved. Let me tell you, my friend, God wants to know you. He wants to save you. He wants to give you eternal life. God is crying out for you, O lost sinner. Where are you? Softly, the song says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. Why don't you decide today? It's going to be the day I'm going to get saved. I'm not going to push God away anymore. And maybe number three, You're simply the person in whom God knows daily. There's a person maybe here this morning, you're saved, you know you're on your way to heaven, but you've left God, so to speak. You're the one in whom God used to know. Why don't you mend that today? Maybe you're here today and you're not saved and you're the one God wants to know. But then there's number three. This is the crowd. This is the person in whom God knows daily. You're the one that every day, like clockwork, just like I believe in the Garden of Eden, I think it was like clockwork in the cool of the day, there was a place and a time. Adam and Eve and God, them three. And you're the one this morning, you're the one that's got the joy of the Lord. You're the one that's seeing the blessings of God. Regardless of if you're in a valley or you're on a mountaintop, you know what? Regardless, when I shake your hand, you're smiling. You're saying, God is good, Pastor. Doesn't matter what day it is. Doesn't matter what you've been through. God is good. You know why? Because he sustains you, and he sustains you through this book. And you are the one that has that prayer closet. You are the one that has that time set aside day after day after day without fail. And let me tell you something. Don't you quit it. You keep on walking with God. You're the one whom you walk with God daily. You're the one who has the joy of the Lord on your face daily, and he gives you a cause for which you can live. You're the one whom God brings sweet joy to your life and to your family. You're the one that leads your family into going to church and reading the Bible. You're the one that just does it without fail. You're the one who has not kept God hanging. You show up, and you're in your place. So, in closing, where are you in relation to God? God was walking in the cool of the day in the garden. I believe he was there, obviously. But Adam and Eve didn't show up. Adam, where art thou? A backslidden one. God is crying out, where art thou? Hey, unsaved one, you don't know for sure you're saved this morning, my friend. I plead with you. Why don't you come to know Jesus as your Savior? Because he's crying out, hey, come to me. Come to me. And the one you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. You just keep on, and you're walking with God. You just keep on walking. You just keep on filling yourself with the Word of God day in and day out without fail. You keep on soaking in the things of God through your Bible reading and through your prayer and through your Sunday school class and through the preaching. You just keep on soaking it in. For when the time comes and the battles come, you're the one that will remain through the ups and downs of life. You're the one that will remain victorious simply because you know intimately the one that gives you a victorious life every day. You're the one that can keep a smile on your face day in and day out because you are the one that goes ahead and provides a smile and gives you the strength to go day in and day out. Hey, my friend, this morning, where are you in relationship to God? Where are you? Let me say this. If you're not saved this morning, I plead with you. Don't go ahead and worry about what somebody behind you or beside you thinks. Because you know what? We all individually stand accountable to God. They're not going to face God for you one day. If you want to go ahead and push God away because you're not saved here on this side of heaven, and when we all face God one day and he looks in the Lamb's Book of Life and you had many opportunities to go ahead and get saved, you sat under the preaching, the seed had been planted, but you never went ahead and simply asked, you know what, your friend that caused you maybe not to go forward and get saved, whoever else who cannot stand an account for you, it's only going to be you that can stand for account for yourself. And when God asks, why didn't you take the opportunity? You heard it. Why didn't you do it? But because, there'll be no excuse at that time. There'll be no excuse. Hey, my friend, I plead with you. Just a few minutes. The invitation's going to play. I'm going to come down here. If you don't know for sure you're saved, I plead with you. Shake my hand. Don't worry about who's around you, sitting close to you. You know what? Don't worry about you. Take that first step. You walk down that aisle. You give me eye contact. Shake my hand. Say, preacher, I want to know for sure I'm saved. I want to know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. And you know what? I will go ahead and I'll lead you to someone. If you're a lady will sit down with you, show you from the Bible how you could be saved. If you're a man will sit down with you, show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And let me tell you something, when in this church, when one gets saved, we cry for joy, man. We get excited when one enters into the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not a dredge around here. It's not something that, just another one got saved. No, we get excited because I believe that when one gets saved, they're rejoicing in heaven because of the one that got saved. So don't you go ahead and push God away any longer. Today could be the day. We don't know what'll happen tomorrow. We're not guaranteed another day. I'm not guaranteed tonight. I hope I can go ahead and preach again this evening, but I'm not guaranteed I'll get through the day. I hope I do. I don't want to breathe my last breath the next moment, but the truth of the matter is if you're unsaved, dear one, you're unsaved, I love you and God loves you, and let someone go ahead and show you from the Bible what it's like to be a Christian and show you from God's word how you can be saved. Don't push them away. You know, the ground's level at the foot of the cross. Anybody. You know, it's not different people that can come to Christ. Anybody can come to Christ. Doesn't matter what class of people you're in. Doesn't matter who you are. You know what? Anybody can come to Christ. Hey, dear one, you're saved, but boy, you've wandered far away from God. Why don't you decide this morning, I'm going to make myself an altar right down here. I'm going to say, God, forgive me. I know I'm your child. But this morning, I'm going to go ahead and renew my relationship. From this day forward, you're going to be number one. From this day forward, I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. I'm going to make you a vital, big part of my life. And if you're here this morning, maybe you want to just press a reset button. Every day you walk with God. Why don't you just decide, hey, if you need to use the altar, you know what? God, you know, I'm just going to say, hey, I walked with you this morning, but you know what? This is just to let you know, God. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and continue walking with you. There's three types of people here this morning. Which one are you? Don't push God away this morning. Let me tell you something. I long for you to, as I taught in Sunday school classes, I long for you to have the success that only God can give you. I long for that. I'm your pastor, and I love you, and I want God to go ahead and bless you more than you know. And I would plead with you before you leave. Why don't you, whatever decision you need to make, why don't you make it this morning? Our heads are bowed, and our eyes are closed. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how powerful it is. We thank you, dear one, dear God, that you love us. You sent your only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And the only way that we can ever have access to heaven one day is only through your son, Jesus. I pray, dear God, if there's one here, they're not saved today, that they'll take that courageous step. Don't worry about anybody around them, that they'll just come forward and shake my hand and say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I pray that they'll get saved today and they won't leave here still lost and still empty without knowing you. There's one that's backslidden today. I pray, God, that they'll come back today. And if there's one here today, they just want to press reset button, I'm going to keep walking with you, God, every single day. Whatever the decision is there, I pray, God, you'd bless. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today, maybe here today, and my invitation question will be like this. If you're here today, God spoke to your heart. No one's looking, and I won't embarrass you, but God spoke to your heart some way, somehow. Would you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. God spoke to me. God spoke to my heart this morning. You know what? Don't go ahead and push God away. If you feel that knocking, it's not me. I don't know what's going on in your heart, but God does. If that's me, would you please pray for me, preacher? Put your hands up again real high. Just pray for me. Please, preacher, there you are. Several hands, you may put them down. You know, I want to encourage you in just a moment. God spoke to you. Why don't you decide to make an altar this morning and decide whatever it is, you get it right. If you're unsaved this morning, why don't you get saved today? Become a child of God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The music's going to go ahead and play. As soon as the first note plays, why don't you decide, hey, I'm going to step out. I'm going to make whatever decision. If you need to be saved this morning, let me help you. I want to help you. If you need me to pray with you, I'll pray with you, whatever it is. As the music plays, why don't you come forward?